Hello, I'm sitting here with Sonu Iyer from EY, and I'm Monica Hullan from Mint, and we're going to talk about taxation before the budget. Before the budget is really the time that a lot of individuals and households start worrying about what the finance minister is going to do in the budget. I'm going to start off, Sonu, by asking you that what are the expectations? So we've had so much of media speculation on different pieces of the budget, but as this big tax expert, what do you think lies ahead?
Thanks, Monica. Great to be in Mint Studios here today.
Yeah.
On the expectations, every year this whole exercise starts and people start expecting a lot from the budget. And particularly this year, post-demonetization, everybody's talking about a very populist budget, lots of tax sops. But what I think is going to happen really is we will have a prudent budget yet again. Mm-hmm. I expect the finance minister to increase the maximum amount of income not chargeable to tax from current 2,50,000 to 3 lakhs. Mm-hmm. That will happen, but no more than that. I don't expect a major change in tax slab rates, etc., as is being speculated. I expect that the demand for increasing the limit available for home loan interest will go up from 2 lakh to 2,50,000. And there may be modest increases here and there, maybe around NPS, depending on what's the thrust of the budget going to be. He may give some encouragement to people to invest in infrastructure bonds, something which will be helpful for the economy. I believe that the finance minister and indeed this government is committed to stabilizing the economy and giving it an impetus. So I expect a very sensible budget, but yet these things will also happen.
See. Yeah, so I don't think there's going to be this sort of free dole out of the exchequer into political sort of gain. But because whatever that we have seen, even when Narendra Modi spoke about on 31st December, it was all sort of linked to expenditure that the individual had to make, whether it was subvention of the home loan,
yes,
or interest or fixed deposits for senior citizen. So it's not just a dole. There is something which you have to also do. And that is pretty much what you're saying. That
I think the Prime Minister's got the country used to a bit of pain for the greater good of the country. I think that philosophy will continue. Whatever benefits will come, they will also have some wisdom behind it. We definitely need to increase expenditure in the economy. The government is a big spender, yeah, and it will spend, but it wants people to also spend so that to give some cheer to, yeah, the economy. So you'll see increase in personal disposable, yeah, income thanks to increase in the slab available.
Yeah. Yeah, and also we want the government to spend on capital and you want the households to spend on things. You don't want the government to increase their revenue expense. You want them to do capital investment, so
absolutely,
which is what hopefully will happen. And the word capital then, of course, triggers off this whole controversy over the long-term capital gains tax. So very quickly, today when you invest in equity, which is listed, on which securities transaction tax has been paid, your long-term capital gain, which is your profit after 1 year, is tax-free. Now,
right,
there was a statement by the Prime Minister which said that, people who have capital should also be paying tax. And that sort of triggered off all the rumors on capital gains
tax. Which the finance minister promptly came on and clarified,
yes,
that no,
yes,
such plan.
Yes.
I definitely don't think there will be any change in the long-term capital gains tax regime, particularly because, the intention is to keep things stable. They don't want to, further depress the sentiment in the market. It will go on. Plus, if you know the track record, the government has committed that it will not make retrospective changes. If at all a change happens, it will be 1st April onwards, so people will have time to, reinvest or replan their long-term capital gains basket.
Yeah, but I do think that possibly this 1 year benefit that equity has vis-a-vis other asset classes, be it real estate or gold or even debt products, it may go away, do you think? Because long-term for a retail investor is definitely not 12 months. I mean, I would say in my head, long-term for me is 12 years when I enter equity, maybe 10 years or maybe even 5 years. But 1 year, who gave it long-term?
So Monica, economic rationale is fine. And
yeah,
if I really, get the audience to think about it, it wasn't always this way. Back in,
yeah,
2003-04, people were paying taxes on, equity, even if it was held for more than 1 year. So the point is, we were not used to this, but suddenly we've all got used to free tax regime on long-term capital gains for,
yeah,
from shares held for more up to 1 year. So I buy your argument that, some sort of parity is required. And if you really look at it from a long-term investment perspective, it could be wise to do so. But if you ask me whether it's going to happen in the budget 2017,
I don't think so. Okay, because I recently read somebody advising people to sell their entire profit you know, sell their equity, book their profit, and then reinvest for a small cost. And I didn't agree with it, because even if there is a government which will tax, they will grandfather the older profits, don't you think?
I agree with you, Monica. Yeah. There will be grandfathering if at all such a law comes about. And as I said, the government is committed to not introducing anything retrospectively. So whatever will happen will be prospective if at all it happens.
So nobody needs to worry. If you're sitting on profits, booked on equity, the view of the tax expert and a person who analyzes markets and governments, I also don't think that your gain will be taxed. It probably will get grandfathered, even if such a thing were to happen. But Sonu's saying it is not going to happen.
That's right, Monica.
Okay. So I'm actually now going to talk about something which is called the banking transaction tax. That's the other thing which is in the news. All new sort of taxes are coming about. Tell us a little bit about what a banking transaction tax is and why is there such a lot of worry about it.
So the banking transaction tax, very simply put, is if people withdraw over a certain amount of money from the bank, and if there are transactions which are over a certain amount, which could be 50,000, a lakh, whatever it is, would be subjected to some nominal tax. In common parlance, I would take an example. It would be something similar to securities transaction tax. Mm-hmm. When you do a transaction, you pay securities transaction, you pay STT. Similarly, there was this conversation or talk about banking transaction tax being introduced. Again, I would not think that this is the time when people should be looking to see a BTT come in budget 2017. Maybe it is something that can happen over a longer period of time, but at least not in this budget 2017. Again, because people have barely got used to being more banking savvy. So we are saying here's this whole battle, or literally a war against non-banking transactions that the Prime Minister has started. If he's getting people to become digital, he's getting people to do transactions over banking system, suddenly to introduce a tax like this would be counter to a long-term plan.
And also, don't you think the minute you have an artificial limit, 50,000, then everything becomes 49,000, right? So either you have a tax, you tax anything which goes out. The more you withdraw, the more tax you pay. So either you tax every rupee or you don't tax at all. Because the minute there is this 50,000, we will just get 49,999. You know, that's all that you will get.
Right. Right. So you're right, Monica. I mean, either you tax everything, then you don't have income tax. But we have an income tax, which is
correct.
Good. So
correct.
The income tax system continues.
Yeah.
And to introduce this would actually be defeating the purpose of getting people onto banking. So you want more and more people to use the banking system.
Right.
So not the right time, if at all.
Okay. All right. So we have a question from a Facebook viewer. Akash Kalantre, is tax rate going to decrease? And because more money has come in, what Aksh is asking, Akash, is that everyone expects that there was money which came into the system somewhere. It has benefited the government and the government is going to give a little bit of a cherry and say, okay, less rates. I mean, what is the flaw in this argument?
So, you know, Monica, the whole expectation that demonetization has filled in the government coffers and the fiscal deficit is going to come down dramatically is a little overstated. We still don't know how much money has come back into the government kitty. It'll be, you know, maybe sometime in July, we may have a better sense of the quantified money available for government to use for any kind of SOPs or any kind of expenditure to reduce fiscal deficit. So I don't think we should right now peg our hopes on money collected post-demonetization for the government to be able to do it. Whatever the government will do, it'll have to balance it with the existing fiscal deficit as it knows it to be.
Okay. So I have some more questions which we got off social media. This person is asking, if I had around 5 lakh cash at home and it isn't black money and I want to deposit the amount, will the tax guys come after me? People are worried.
Well, yes, there is already announcements from CBDT, etc. Although they're currently tracking anything over 10 lakh rupees deposits, which happened post 8th November. But if you deposit the 5 lakhs, so long as you can explain the source of income, and you said it is not black money, it is something that is explainable, I would say not to worry, go ahead and deposit. But remember, you have to explain where this money came from.
I think what people are worried about is the explaining piece, where the way that we view questions from tax inspectors is more in a sort of a hostile environment. So people are afraid that, you know, will I go under the scrutiny because there's so much money in my deposit account?
So Monica, to some extent that fear is good because it makes people do right thing. And also what I hear, there are a lot of best practices being discussed in the corridors of tax departments.
You know, for instance, give a few, I mean, what?
So,
because we're in a country where less than 1% of the population pays tax, the number of people with 1 crore income is less than 50,000. But you see the SUVs, the luxury houses, the spending. You know, it's obviously people are not declaring their incomes. Obviously, you have to do something to get these guys in.
So, Monica, I think the answer is very simple. You have to be able to explain your source of income. So today, if you say I have 5 lakhs sitting here and I have a brand new SUV standing outside, where did I get the money from? Did I pay tax on that income or not? That's what the tax office is looking for.
So, again, how are they coming to know? So this is, it's not that this is new. People have always spent far in excess of what they would declare. But, I mean, is Big Brother watching? Who's connecting the dots to say you bought 20 lakh gold and you have this new SUV which you didn't have till 2 weeks back?
So, Monica, I'm also basing my answer on what I'm reading in the papers. And you know, we're talking about the government being very sophisticated, using big data analytics. They have information and access to banking information. They're tracking expenditure. They're getting information on purchase of luxurious goods. They're getting expenditure on foreign travel. So in any case, you know, we are saying that whatever you do, whenever you are incurring expenditure, be prepared to explain where the money came from. Gone are the days when, you know, it won't come to the light. So government is tracking it. Yeah. So we should be.
And it's a good thing. I mean, if you're good, don't worry. If you are not, well, it's good that you worry. Okay. We have a question from Siddharth Dev. What is the deduction for home loan interest? And any expected change in the budget?
So the deduction, as we talked a little bit earlier, is currently it's pegged at rupees 200,000, so 2 lakhs.
Yeah.
We expect this to probably go up to 2,50,000. Mr. Modi has been talking often about housing for all. So we expect, and we also have a lot of people suffering because of delayed, you know, housing loan project, housing projects, etc. So I expect housing, again, it also links back to infrastructure. So you need to give that kind of impetus in the economy. So I expect this will go up.
Okay. Another question here. So Prakash Iyer has a question. Do you foresee a long-term capital gains tax in the budget? And we just spoke a little bit about that. Sonu does not think really that this tax is coming in. We have a question on the Rajiv Gandhi Equity Savings Scheme. What tax benefits do we get? Do we get this benefit over and above the ones we are entitled to in Section 80C?
Rajiv Gandhi Equity Scheme, when it was currently withdrawn, it was when it was there, a person whose income is less than 12 lakhs could get up to 50% of the amount invested in the equity market.
Right.
But this was a first-time investor. There was a lot of confusion around how do you define first-time investor, etc.
Very complicated scheme. And I remember the time that it was launched, I remember saying that, you know, it's really a harebrained scheme because, and it didn't take off. They took it away. We have Apurva Prasad saying, is the withdrawal on NPS now taxable? Should I invest in NPS? I mean, should I invest in NPS needs, I think, 2 hours. But let's stay with,
is it taxable? On the taxability of NPS withdrawal, if you withdraw at the age of 60 and above, your 60% comes to you in a lump sum format. And out of that 60%, 40% is non-taxable. So there is some part of it which is non-taxable, but the 40% goes into annuity and you'll only get it as monthly annuity.
And that annuity income is taxed. That's your slab rate. According to your age, right? And to the part of the question whether I should invest in NPS, I mean, the way that I look at it, that if you are not part of an employee pension scheme, if you're not part already of EPS, if you are in the unorganized sector or you're a professional who's a...
So it's a great pension benefit. It is social security. So if you don't have any other planning towards your old age or retirement, I would say go for NPS. And some of the recent information around NPS earnings, particularly those invested in government bonds, have been encouraging.
Correct.
So, and if you have surplus funds and if you're looking to create a retirement kind of booty, maybe NPS is a good idea.
And but the funds have done fairly well. I mean, as an investment person who's tracking this, they've done fairly well.
I agree with you. Yeah. So I would think that it's not a bad idea. People have written it off most of the time, but maybe time to consider NPS.
Okay. Again, one more pension question. Which pension fund should I invest in, NPS or PPF? Should I think about tax treatment? So this is a question really on asking whether it's NPS or PPF and saying that should I always think about the taxation piece when I do my retirement corpus building? What should I think about?
Tax can be one of the reasons when you decide on which pension plan to go for, but not always the driver. Between PPF and NPS, as I look at it, currently PPF is non-taxable throughout. So when you contribute, you get an income exemption under the 1,50,000, you get a deduction under 80C. Interest on PPF is not taxable and withdrawal is not taxable. Plus, you can get a loan from PPF. So there is good stuff recommending PPF. It's a good one, but given you have a monetary limit on how much you can put in PPF per year, if you have more to invest and you want to plan for your retirement, maybe you can also add PPF along with NPS.
And for a lot of people, the limit of PPF is now no longer enough.
Yes.
You cannot invest more than now, it's 2 lakh, right?
Yes.
You cannot invest more than 2 lakh. So for a lot of the urban mass affluent, your investable surplus is
more.
Much more. So you will need to step out of this safe PPF haven and start taking a little bit of market risk. We have Ritika Garg. She's saying that to promote investment and savings, will the Section 80C limits be hiked? So currently the Section 80C limits...
1,50,000.
Plus there's a 50,000 for NPS. So the question is whether it gets hiked and what happens.
So the 50,000 for NPS will still stay outside that 80C. Yeah. And I expect the 80C limit to go up. As I said, you know, the idea is to give some sort of a balm after all the pain that people have had. So 80C is something.
Yeah,
and plus it's a long-term benefit. You know, again, the prudence that we talked about earlier.
Yes.
When people invest in notified investments for the purpose of 80C, those are all helpful to the economy. So, and encourage savings. So good, I think I expect this to go up.
I have one more question here. After I sell a property, am I liable to pay the long-term capital gains tax if I invest the entire thing in a new property?
No, so that's the benefit. So if you sell a property, if you invest all of it in a house property or in any bonds, etc., in India, you should be able to completely get a tax benefit of not having to pay tax at all.
But if you don't and you want to realize the money, then there is still a way to save a little bit of the tax, right? I mean, for your profit, if you invest that in the 54EC bonds, then you don't have to pay tax. Just tell us a little bit about that.
The capital is put in NHAI bonds, so National Highway bonds or rural electrification bonds. You would be able to still get an exemption from that. 50% of that would be.
And those bonds are usually at a lower rate than your even a fixed deposit. Usually, there's always...
And plus, they have to be available because they're not always available. So
but you can keep your money in... There's a special fund.
Capital
you
gains
can
unit account.
Account, and then you wait for one of those bonds to come.
And then
save. So you will need a good financial planner to help you with that.
Yes.
Okay. We have Gayatri Bhaseen saying, is medical insurance premium paid for parents deductible?
Yes. So if you buy a medical insurance plan for your parents who are under the age of 60, you get 25,000 rupees as a deduction. If your parents are over the age of 60, then that exemption amount goes up to 30,000. Deduction goes up.
Deduction,
to
30. Right. And basically, I will have to show the tax people that I have written a check, I have signed it.
It has come from my sources.
It has to go to my account, and then I get the deduction. I
That's
can claim
right.
that. All right.
So the whole principle of any deduction is that you have to be able to show it's come from your earnings, from your income.
Right. So Vineet Gulati saying, what happens when builders from government-approved projects take your money? Okay, so this is a lot of angst about, I don't think it's really a tax question, but there has been a lot of problem with the builders.
And thanks, I think, to the Supreme Court, we're seeing much more interest being, you know, this was an ignored lot of people who were being exploited by developers. I think Supreme Court is actively intervening now to say that, you know, these guys have to make good. So it's not a tax question, but I understand your pain, Vineet.
Everybody has suffered.
Yes.
Right. So anything, last few comments on the forthcoming budget and what you think will happen?
So Monica, I want to say that, you know, we in India are really, really in a very good place. I mean, we are part of an emerging market. Everything is there to recommend us. And I think we need a lot of national sentiment to get it, you know, get the country to its rightful place. So if we have to pay a little extra tax, fine. But first, encourage our relatives and friends to pay tax where it is due. Don't expect too many doles, and, you know, because it's time for the country to, you know, really take advantage of the position it is in. We talked about the expectations for the budget. I always say, fine, we can expect, but at the end of it, you know, don't just look out for doles and, you know, be prepared to help the country to grow.
Yeah, I think doles can happen once the tax GDP ratio goes up a bit. So people need to just pay more taxes. Thank you so much, Sonu. This was really informative and educative.
Thank you, Monica.